You're listening to Vatican Radio. Representatives of the many different Christian communities here in Rome gathered at the Methodist Church at Ponte Sant'Angelo on Wednesday for the dedication of a new Methodist ecumenical office. The initiative is aimed at promoting greater understanding of the worldwide communion through education programs and the welcome it can offer from its location just across the River Tiber from St. Peter's Basilica. Leaders of the World Methodist Council have gathered for the dedication and are scheduled to meet with Pope Francis on Thursday. Among them is Irish lay leader Gillian Kingston, Vice President of the World Methodist Council. She talked to me about the importance of ecumenical relations at international level, as well as the challenges facing the Methodist Church in Ireland today.
I think ecumenical relations work on a number of levels. I've always myself used the image of the milking stool, which has three legs. And each of the three must function in order for the stool to stand. And as I see this, there is the ecumenical theological dialogue, which is ongoing between Methodists and many other Christian world communions. But the longest standing of these dialogues is our dialogue with the Roman Catholic Church. I also see that the ecumenical project must work at the level of church leadership and structures. And then thirdly, it must, of course, work at grassroots level among the people of God.
And how would you characterise that in Ireland today, for example?
I think we're a lot further on than we used to be. The work of the Irish Council of Churches and the Irish Interchurch Meeting has brought church leaders and other movers and shakers within the church to fora where they can discuss issues of common concern and interest. And I think also at grassroots levels, perhaps it is patchy, but I think we are, as you might say, getting there, particularly as in Ireland we are encountering, as we have never encountered before, both a rising tide of secularism and of those disillusioned with organised faith, but also the increasing presence of persons of other world faiths among us. And so as Christians, we have to, in the words of St. Peter, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us.
You're very involved in social action too. I know you've been the vice chair of Christian Aid in Ireland. Do you think that this progress at local level perhaps occurs more through practical cooperation than it does through the theological dialogue among scholars?
Yes, you're quite right in saying I've been the vice president of Christian Aid Ireland, and I've also sat on the boards of Christian Aid, both in the United Kingdom and Ireland and in Ireland itself. And Christian Aid is one of those organisations that gathers people together in the cause of peace and justice and social concern. And I think we in Ireland particularly relate very well to that, because at the back of our folk memory is the great hunger of the mid-1800s. And we still recall that and have within us a fellow feeling for people who suffer from hunger and from the varieties of hunger there are around the world, not just physical hunger. So I think people do relate at that level. But the question always is that when you have a life and work movement with either a capital or a lowercase L and W, then people do want to explore that further and say, where does our faith come into this? And how far can we push this in terms of our faith?
You're a laywoman working in this field. One of the challenges, one of the big challenges facing the Catholic Church is the question of empowering lay people, and particularly women, in leadership. How would you describe progress in this field within the World Methodist Council and specifically your own context there in Ireland?
Well, within the World Methodist Council, and because Mr. Wesley was one who started this as a lay movement within the Anglican Church of his day, we have always put an emphasis on the use of lay people, particularly through what we call local preachers, that is, lay people who are trained and empowered to preach. Across this, of course, has cut the cultural usages of various countries where, for example, women are not always seen in positions of leadership and of teaching. So, again, the World Methodist picture is a diverse picture in this respect. To come back to Ireland, I think all our churches in Ireland, and I include the Roman Catholic Church in Ireland among this, are suffering from a dearth of ordained persons. Within the Methodist Church in Ireland, of course, we ordain women. But we are all suffering from a dearth of ordained persons, and we're all conscious that the role of lay people is going to have to change. And I think within the Roman Catholic Church, there is an increasing awareness of this. But we do, I think, have to be intentional in all our churches about equipping and empowering lay people in ministry. And I mean ministry in the widest possible sense.
As you say, this is perhaps an area where the Methodist Church has led the way since its foundation. If you looked at the sharing of gifts, if you like, what would you say that perhaps is the most significant aspect of the Catholic Church's practice, ministry and so on, that is an area where Methodists can learn from especially?
That's a very difficult question to answer, because obviously as a Methodist person I see the gifts that we can offer. The gifts the Roman Catholic Church might offer are its ability to contain within itself a considerable diversity. As you look at the Roman Catholic Church historically, there have within that church arisen a number of orders, each with its own particular charism. We have the Franciscans, the Benedictines, the Jesuits, the Dominicans, to name but four. Each has its own particular charism, its own gift to offer the wider church, and yet the Roman Catholic Church has been able to contain all that within itself in a way that perhaps the Protestant movement in the West has not been so able to do. And I think that is a gift that we can appreciate.
You're giving the Pope, aren't you, a copy of the Hymns of Our Lord's Supper by the Wesley brothers. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and about the importance of the music, the worship in the Methodist tradition?
Yes, we are hoping to give him this gift, and I think this is one of the great gifts, I think, that the people called Methodists can offer the world church, that great resource of literally thousands of hymns, and particularly the hymns by Charles Wesley, but also some by John Wesley as well, of particular importance to the dialogue, the long-standing dialogue between the Methodist Church and the Roman Catholic Church, have been the Eucharistic hymns of John and Charles Wesley. For the Wesleys, I think the hymns that they wrote were a way of teaching perhaps an illiterate or a less than literate people the things of the faith. And as they sang those hymns, into their hearts and minds sank the great theological truths of the faith. And the Methodist way of expressing them, particularly in terms of the four alls of Methodism. All may be saved, all need to be saved, all may know themselves to be saved, and all may be saved to the uttermost. That salvation is for all, but all need salvation and need to know they need it. And so the word all comes up very frequently in the hymns, and that is one of the things that we can offer. And of course, our singing is legendary. We like to think.